Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We are in the midst of training camp. It's a busy episode today. We've got our family night preview. Later on, we'll be previewing the defensive line as we work our way position by position through the Packers roster. But to kick off the show, as usual, starting with the news of the day, we have our guest joining us for a monthly engagement starting today, the first Friday of every month. We're having Scott McKenna join us. He's joined us before on our draft episodes. He's the Packers blogger at Talkin' Smack. Scott, how you doing this morning?
I'm great, Brian. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited for this.
Good, good. We're glad to have you. I love talking to you. Scott, a friend of mine that goes back a few years now. But anyway, let's start about talking about the news of the day here, Scott. Yesterday, Nick Perry comes off the PUP list. The day before that, Mike Neal comes off the PUP list. What impact can these guys make now that they've, at least for the time being, put their injuries behind them?
You know, I could make an argument that what might end up being one of the biggest stories to emerge from camp this year was when I read some tweets yesterday that Nick Perry was working extensively from the right side and, importantly, with his hand in the dirt. You know, that's what he did best when he was at college. We saw great success out of Perry when he was rushing from the right side of the field last year. And when you combine this with the news of Raji's dominance over the first week of camp, and it really appears as though the Packers are trying to place an emphasis of putting people in a position to succeed where they've been able to perform best on the defensive side of the ball. With that said, I will say I was a little bit surprised when I saw that that Neal weighed in at the low 260s. I believe it was at 263, as I had really envisioned Neal playing more of a third down role, like much in the mold of what the Giants used to do with Justin Tuck, that long, lengthy pass rusher in the 270 range who was just very disruptive on the interior of the defensive line. And frankly, it worried me when I saw him that he was a little lighter, because I'm just afraid that he might be dropping back in space. And, you know, I guess it leads me to ask you, how do you envision Neal being utilized this year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I see both for Neal and Perry and Julius Peppers as well. I kind of see all these guys, seeing as they have this defensive end background, whether it's in college or for Peppers, you know, with the Bears and the Panthers before that, all kind of being used in some sort of defensive end type of role. You know, I don't know how much they're going to be standing in a two-point stance versus a three-point stance, but obviously Dom Capers has something in store here for these guys. And there's so many of them. I mean, throw the undrafted rookie Adrian Hubbard in that category as well. He fits that same kind of, you know, big, huge outside linebacker mold that, I mean, there is no way this is just going to be the same old Dom Capers defense that we've seen the past few years.
Well, it's the defense. Capers' options are going to be limitless. And, you know, it's exciting. Not only do they have Hubbard in camp, but I think Jaron Elliott is another name to keep your eye on here as camp evolves. Long, lengthy player. And, you know, Hubbard and Elliott, in my opinion, they fit the mold of a traditional 3-4 defense, then, you know, better than some of the people that we've had in camp and on the roster over the last couple of years, where they're used to playing in space, they're used to dropping in coverage. They've pursued quarterbacks with a vengeance previously. And, you know, I really think if I'm Dom Capers, I'm walking into camp this year with great excitement.
Okay, elsewhere on the Packers roster here, safety position. Apparently, the reports, just as we are, this show is taking place concurrently as practice is taking place. Word in Green Bay today, Morgan Burnett is back at practice. He sat out one full practice and half of another due to some ankle injury, apparently not very you know, severe or anything like that. But he sits out a practice and a half, giving Micah Hyde and HaHa Clinton Dix ample opportunity with the starters, gives, you know, Sean Richardson more playing time. What's happening at the safety position? Tanner Miller continues to be out. I mean, what is Burnett going to step right back in with the starters today, Scott, do you think?
I imagine he's going to step in today with, you know, with the stars as well. They're not going to just hand anything over to HaHa and to Micah Hyde. But I'll admit, and maybe I'm crazy here, Brian, but when I first read that Micah Hyde might be a fixture at the safety position, my initial thought was that the Packers might move to a traditional free safety, strong safety tandem, with Hyde playing to his strengths, sticking in the box, residing in the box. You know, and HaHa playing out, you know, playing out deep in the secondary. I admit I haven't been to camp yet this year. I haven't seen HaHa in the green and gold with the G on the helmet yet. But I've talked to a number of people that have attended camp, and they say that the swagger is back in the jersey of the number 21 jersey of the Green Bay Packers, and that all you have to do is watch one drill, and you can notice that HaHa is quicker than any safety that the Packers have had since Nick Collins left. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if in time, you know, the Packers do turn to something that's more traditional, where HaHa is able to get sideline to sideline and prevent some of the deep balls that we've seen, you know, in recent history that have that the opposition's connected on. And we get Hyde get staying in the box, covering, you know, tight ends or wide receivers in the slot and taking on, you know, blockers and making plays like we saw, especially in the Baltimore game last year. But it wouldn't shock me if that eventually happened. And, I mean, do you think it's out of the question that early here, Hyde and HaHa are starting safeties?
I don't think it's out of the question, especially after the poor season that Burnett had last year. I mean, last year he barely deserved to be on the field. I mean, they necessarily had to him because there were only worse options behind him on the roster with MD Jennings and, you know, beginning in the season having Jerron McMillan. I mean, they had to go with Burnett. But, I mean, there seemed to have added depth this year, and I would no longer say Burnett's job is 100%. You know, given to him, but I do think, you know, he's obviously the incumbent starter. It'll take a lot to move him out. Regardless, you know, they can use all three guys, though, when the Packers are simply in their dime formation, and I think you're going to see a lot of that this year, perhaps more than usual than you've seen in the past. You know, just continuing with our discussion here, though, Scott, of the Packers roster, moving on, offensive side of the football. Earlier this week, they add a new wide receiver, Gerard Shepherd. But how many of these wide receivers can they actually keep on the 53-man roster?
Well, you know, I project six. Wouldn't be shocked if the Packers kept as many as seven wide receivers. And one thing that's just been true with McCarthy and Thompson, and when they've worked in unison, is that they're going to keep the best 53 players that they feel make up the roster. We've seen five tight ends. We've seen three fullbacks in what's a nearly extinct position throughout the NFL. And when you look down the depth of the players that are in camp right now, with, you know, Nelson obviously being a superstar and being extended earlier in the, you know, in camp, and you had Cobb, who's a star in the league, and Boykin, who's emerging quickly, and Adams, who, you know, second round pick, and, you know, appears to be all that he's billed. You know, Dorsey was a seventh round pick last year. It's always a sign when you see where players are playing in the special teams units early in camp. And read yesterday he was playing with the first team. Janice, you know, while we haven't seen him yet this year, he's a seventh round pick. He's got a great build. He's got the speed. Showed decent hands, from what I understand, in mini camps. You know, Aberderis was a fifth round pick this year. Miles White performed very well last year in limited time. And, you know, Chris Harper was a fourth round pick by the Seahawks last year. And frankly, heading into the draft last year, I thought really highly of him. So, I think it's going to be the most interesting cutdown will be at wide receiver. And I'll be very curious to see how they how many they do keep. What are you envisioning?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's a given that they keep six. I have no question in my mind they are keeping at least six this year. And it wouldn't surprise me if they kept seven. I do think that's maybe perhaps a long shot. But, I mean, this is a team that's kept, five tight ends and three fullbacks in the past. So keeping seven wide receivers maybe isn't necessarily the craziest idea in the world.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
All right. Earlier this week, Scott, the Packers, just on Wednesday, since our last episode of Railbird Central, extended the contract of general manager Ted Thompson, getting a multi-year extension. My question for you, though, how long now until head coach Mike McCarthy gets his own extension?
I believe that it's probably already done. I just envision McCarthy and Thompson and Russ Ball and Murphy all sitting around a table drinking some local hops, hopefully Wisco Disco, which I saw just got it's promotion to being sold at Lambeau Field this year. So props to them. But sitting down and just hammering out contracts and saying we've got a really good thing going. Perception is sometimes reality, sometimes not. But it just seems like both McCarthy and Thompson love what they have in Green Bay, and that they really enjoy being a unified pair. And I imagine that the deal is likely already complete, and we'll hear about it in the next couple of weeks.
I wonder, is Ted Thompson the type that's going to wait, though, until maybe the season is over, and like if McCarthy doesn't have a good season, then maybe not give him the extension? I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but is there any chance of that happening whatsoever?
I truly don't think so. I think that McCarthy and Rodgers and Thompson are linked together. They'll be connected until Thompson decides that he doesn't want to be the general manager anymore. And who knows, even when he decides that, he may even step down, and if he's got good rapport with the person that would be his successor, he may end up taking an area scout job with the Packers, as football just generally is, it appears to be his first love. I really see McCarthy as the Packers coach for maybe the next 5 to 7 years or more.
Yeah, I agree. It was simply me playing devil's advocate. I think it's only a matter of time here till we hear the McCarthy extension now that Thompson is done. Scott, let's transition here. New topic new segment here. Let's get into our family night predictions. The annual family night taking place inside Lambeau Field Saturday evening, going to be televised statewide. It's going to be streamed worldwide. If you can get yourself to any internet access on Saturday evening. But we're going to go through our predictions here through family night. We'll just kind of go, we'll take turns giving some predictions for family night. And I'll let you go first, Scott. What do you think is going to happen? What are people going to see during this telecast stream of family night Saturday evening?
I guess the first thing I'd predict is that Reggie O'Neal will emerge as a fan favorite in what is a very crowded Packers backfield. And one of the things that Lambeau Field offers, and what I think is special with regards to the family night, is you oftentimes see somebody that maybe is under the radar step up and have a big time performance where they get to step out under the lights of the hallowed stadium or the most mystical theater in American sports that is Lambeau Field. And I think the Packer fans are going to step out and they're going to see Reggie O'Neal, who I think is an ideal fit for what the Packers do. You know, when he was at Tennessee, when the Volunteers spread out the defense and they allowed Neal to be a one cut back to see the hole and to burst through it. I mean, this guy was a top-notch performer. He was great out of the backfield, using his hands, catch the football, finishes plays with power. And I really, I think that he's going to catch the eye of many fans in what is a backfield that is, you know, getting back Dewan Harris. And, you know, Ladarius Perkins is an exciting name as well. And then you couple that, obviously, with Eddie Lacy and James Starks. Going to be tough for somebody to make some noise and to create an extra roster spot there. But I really believe that the Packers are going to limit the amount of touches with Lacy and Starks and maybe even Harris early in the year due to past injury history. And with that, I fully expect Neal to take advantage of his opportunities.
That is a bold prediction, just simply because I think, you know, Rajon Neal is not a name at the tip of people's tongues yet. But certainly, when you get in front of a crowd of 80,000 plus people at Lambeau Field, that has a way of raising your profile. And I'll stick in the same vein here. My first prediction for family night, Saturday evening, is that Jamal Roll will become the next in what's becoming seemingly a long line of underrated cornerbacks that jump out and make a name for themselves at family night. It happened as far back as Tremont Williams. I think his first year in Green Bay picks off Aaron Rodgers in family night. Sam Shields and Brandon Underwood both had pick sixes in family night. Just last season, James Nixon had an interception. It seems like every year there's this young cornerback that makes a name for themselves at family night, and my prediction is Jamal Roll this year.
Good play, man. Good play. I like it. Really like it.
All right, your turn. Second prediction.
Heading into camp, I think most fans thought that the place where the depth was weakest was maybe at inside linebacker. And I really believe that Joe Thomas and Jake Doty, I'm excited to see them perform. They both are undersized linebackers who have made a living at the college level and a name for themselves at the college level, taking on linemen, shedding blockers and making the tackles, just finding the football. And I really think that we're going to see Doty and Thomas be active members as we troll through the depths and get into the third and fourth stringers. I'm looking forward to seeing them pursue ball carriers and really putting stingers into people if they're going to allow for good contact on this family night.
That's a good call. Just last night or yesterday, Mike McCarthy praising Joe Thomas during his press conference, saying he's a guy that has jumped out in the early first few days of camp in the early going on. My second prediction for family night is that the Packers will escape Saturday evening without a major injury. Just last year it was that Brian Bulaga suffered his season-ending torn ACL at family night on basically what happened on a non-contact play. Although they were scrimmaging, and this year they are not, Bulaga had just kind of a freak accident, plants his foot and tears his ACL. That was like the story of the evening last year, just simply because it was a starter being lost for the year. And of course, it caused some shuffling on the Packers' offensive line. And even though David Bakhtiari filled in well last year, I still think the Packers' offensive line is better with Brian Bulaga on it. Scott, is this the year the Packers finally reverse their injury trends?
I hope you're knocking on wood as you say that.
Okay.
It's been really encouraging thus far to see that, the injuries have been, really light a week into camp. And, Lattimore stepped out, but I hear he's back. Burnett steps out for a practice, but he's back. We've been very, very fortunate thus far, and let's really hope it stays that way.
Okay, your third prediction for family night.
You know, it's maybe it's something more I'm excited to see than a full-fledged prediction, but I'm really animated to see Richard Rodgers. You know, big target, a great check down receiver, and the way I'll spin this into a prediction is he's going to be a go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm imagining him, you know, he isn't the fleetest of foot, but due to his length and his height and just the target that he is, you know, the big target that he is, you know, running down the middle of the field, extending defenses and grabbing 15 to 20 yard passes that we, you know, we definitely saw, you know, Finley running those routes in the past, and he didn't always come down with the catch. But from all indications, Rodgers' greatest strength is his ability to snatch the ball, and that's going to be, I guess, my other prediction is that you know, Rodgers is going to be a high performer this on tomorrow night.
I'm certainly hoping for that. He's impressed me in the early going. I think he's a talent. I think he has the size and the agility to be a three-down type of end, the type of guy you can trust blocking as well as getting downfield in the receiving game. And I hope we see both of those things Saturday night. My final prediction for Family Night, kicker Mason Crosby will miss no more than one field goal. As you remember, a year ago, Crosby, as of Family Night, had a very tenuous hold on his job with the Packers bringing in Giorgio Tavecchio to compete with him. And Crosby ends up missing several kicks throughout the course of Family Night. You know, they kind of have a, you know, they do field goal drills and things like that. But, you know, I don't, what did he make, like 50% of his field goals last year or something during Family Night? It was crazy. And it was almost at the point where you thought Crosby was about to lose his job. But from that point onward, he goes and has a solid rest of the preseason and has a solid season last year. Scott, is Mason Crosby back? Is his job safe?
Yeah, his job is definitely safe with no competition, and he was really rock solid last year. You know, it is interesting to just see how quickly somebody can go from the doghouse to the penthouse as a kicker in this league. But you know, that's a great prediction, Brian, as well. Really believing that Crosby's refound his stride, and that you know, he's going to be a you know, prominent figure for the Packers, and I think it's going to be a great year for them this year.
It's almost 9 o'clock, Scott. Before I let you go, we're going to continue with our defensive line position by position preview here. You just want to give me your impressions on the Packers defensive line before we let you go?
Terrific depth. And, you know, in past years, if you would have looked at this roster, we would have been cringing at the loss of Jarrell Worthy thus far, you know, who hasn't shown up. LaTroy Guyon, who I think was a very under-discussed signing. You know, he hasn't participated yet. But then you still look at the players that that are on this roster, and we are primed to flourish with Daniels, who seems like he's you know, really really serious about taking the next step in his career, and you know, Dayton Jones, who's come out with the same sort of aggression that, you know, was seen early in camp last year before his ankle injury. I'm high on what Kyrie Thornton can do as well. You know, just, you know, top to bottom, it just seems like there's a lot of depth on the defensive line, and it furthers the conversation that we were discussing on a limited basis earlier, is that, you know, Capers is just going to have thorough options this year on all downs, and really, ultimately, gone are the days of Eli Manning standing at Lambeau Field, you know, on 3rd and 8 and having 10 seconds to throw the football. It's just, or Andrew Luck engineering a comeback down 20-plus points on the road. We're going to have a defense, I think, or a front seven that is going to be able to pursue the quarterback from a variety of different ways. And I mentioned earlier, Raji's Raji's emergence at the beginning of thus far in camp has been great. And you know, I think there's going to be a great rotation of you know, players that are going to be you know, hopefully healthy. And you know, they're not going to be as winded in playing as many downs as we've seen in past years due to a great rotation.
Well, Scott, I appreciate your thoughts and I appreciate you joining you. I'm looking forward to us talking every month this year, the first Friday of each month. And the next time we talk just will so happen to be the day after the Packers season opener against the Seattle Seahawks. Do you think we're going to talk about a win that day?
We'll be 1-0, and hopefully we'll both be hoarse or you know, recovering from a very very energized Thursday night as we kick off the NFL season. And I saw you tweeted something that I had also said. It's sometimes, you know, we're birds of a feather in our thought, but the Seahawks may have the 12th man, and the Packers have 13 world championships. I've always been a man who believes in power and numbers, so I really believe the Packers will step into Seattle and walk away victorious in week one.
There, sounds good to me. Scott, we'll talk to you then. Again, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next month.
Cheers, man.
All right, take care. Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog joining us here at Railbird Central. My buddy Scott, he's going to join us once every month. I'm glad to have him on the show. But for the moment being here, you get some extra Railbird Central today. There's just so much to talk about, from training camp to family night to continuing our position-by-position preview, and that's what I'm going to do right now. I want to run through the Packers' defensive line here a little bit and share my thoughts. And you know, to kick things off, first of all, this is a group that has gotten both younger and smaller through attrition, basically through Ryan Pickett and Johnny Jolly becoming free agents this past offseason. And now they're out of the picture now. The Packers roster for the moment being is at 90 players. They would have to, you know, clear room if they were to sign one of these guys, which I'm not ruling out that they bring back Ryan Pickett or Johnny Jolly at some point. I especially think Jolly, being a little bit younger, is maybe perhaps an option here. But for the time being, you know, he's not in Green Bay. He's coming off injury. Maybe he never comes back. I don't know. Hard to say. Maybe the Packers are just waiting for when the regular season comes and all of a sudden there's an injury and they're in pretty good position then. That is a luxury kind of right now, that if the Packers suffer a regular season injury on the defensive line, they could call either Ryan Pickett or Johnny Jolly and basically not lose a beat. Assuming those guys still haven't lost at all due to age or injury. But they won't be counting on those guys for, you know, major playing time at their age. They're just kind of role players at this point, but could be pretty good role players without them. Anyway, B.J. Raji moving to, from all indications, moving back to the nose tackle position this year. And people wondering, is that going to be the thing that gets B.J. Raji back to his old form that we saw, you know, particularly the Super Bowl season in 2010? Basically, the only season that he's really, really had a good year. The following year, 2011, he played okay. But every year since, it's gone downhill. Raji last year, the past 2 years, hasn't come up with a single sack. And to think, in 2010, he came up with 6.5. I think he had another in the postseason. And so B.J. Raji has just been a shell of his former self. If he made 2 tackles in a game last year, that was a rare occurrence. And, you know, I don't know. It's just he doesn't seem motivated. He doesn't seem to have that fire in his game like he used to. Maybe the fact that he's been humbled now by the fact that he tested free agency and got a 1-year contract from the Packers worth, you know, $4 million, which is nothing to sneeze at. But at one point, you know, there was, you know, thoughts that Raji was seeking a deal worth $8 million, or wasn't it, did the Packers at one point offer a deal averaging $8 million a season? Maybe he's been humbled. Maybe the move back to nose tackle, all these things combined, will, you know, motivate B.J. Raji to, you know, get back to his former, because he's going to be a free agent again after the season. If he has a big year, it could be a case where he, you know, is playing for his next contract. Outside of B.J. Raji, the next biggest name, Mike Daniels, who's really, I mean, of course, had a breakout season last year. 6.5 sacks, has really basically replaced the production that's been missing as a pass rusher, an interior pass rusher, since Cullen Jenkins left Green Bay following the Super Bowl season. It's been great to get a interior pass rusher back on the Packers roster. And on top of that, Daniels has kind of made a name for himself this offseason, being such a fiery guy and making all these proclamations about kicking ass in the Packers locker room and things like that. I appreciate the fire. I don't necessarily sometimes appreciate the comments that he's going to punch a teammate in the face in the locker room. I don't think he needs to go there, but it does seem to be metaphorical, I hope. It worries me sometimes when you see these things with, you know, Ray Rice taking place. The last thing we need is another guy doing, you know, committing some violent act in the NFL and the Green Bay in particular. Regardless, Mike Daniels is never, he's been a, you know, the consummate pro so far. And he seems ticked off, and hopefully that only motivates the rest of his teammates to do the same. And I mean, the question with Mike Daniels is, yes, he's a good pass rusher, and I see no reason he can't continue to be a good pass rusher. Now the question is, can he be a good run defender? Can he be a three-down player? Basically, the Packers, his rookie year, last year, he's been coming in on third downs and rushing the passer. Yeah, he's played the run here and there, and it only increased, you know, his role has only increased over time. But, I mean, what's going to happen this upcoming year when he's going to be expected to be out there 700, 800 plays? Is he going to hold up against the run on first downs, short yardage situations, goal line situations? I'm hopeful he can be effective because he'll use his leverage. You know, he's short. He's like 6 foot. And he'll be effective in that way. I hope that's what happens. But we haven't seen Mike Daniels be a full-time three-down player yet. But we will this season, and we'll see what comes of him. The other starting position up for grabs, basically, Dayton Jones, kind of, you know, being projected as the starter in the base defense. The other base 3-4 end for the Packers, and another guy who's probably, you know, going to slide into a pass rushing defensive tackle in the Packers nickel and dime situations. I mean, the Packers expected this out of him when they took him as a first round draft choice last year. Jones, of course, slowed by injury his rookie season in the NFL, had the ankle injury, not only the first preseason game, was the first play of the first preseason game. The timing couldn't have been worse. But I think even last year, hobbled by injury, he played better than people give him credit for. And I personally think the coaches misused him late in the year when he was barely playing, getting a handful of snaps a game. I think he deserved better than that and more than that. I hope Jones is he lives up to his first-round billing this year. I mean, boy, if Raji Daniels and Dayton Jones all live up to their potential, the sky's the limit for this group. Unfortunately, I'm not sure all these guys, all three of them, do that. but the potential is there for them to do so. I mean, you've seen it at least in college from Jones. You've seen it in the pros from Raji in 2010 and Daniels pretty much all the time. But, I mean, Dayton Jones, can he be a three-down player as well? I wonder if he can hold up against the run on early downs, or is he just a pass rusher? I don't really know the answer to that question, but we're going to find out. Okay, so now there's basically your three starters. Who are the backups on the defensive line or the rotational guys? I can basically start with the two guys who are currently have not yet practiced, both placed on the NFL's non-football injury list on the eve of training camp, Jarrell Worthy and Latroy Guyon. Both these guys, they have to come back soon because neither of them is guaranteed a spot on the Packers roster. I think Guyon, if he's able to come back, stands a better chance. I mean, the Packers went and got him in free agency for a reason. They expect him to be a run-stuffing type of player and maybe a starter on the defense simply from the fact that, you know, he can play on first downs and be your run-stuffer. And then they bring in, you know, Daniels and Jones and passing situations, second and long, third and long. But I think Guyon's a guy they're kind of banking on, at least for this year, 2014, to be a run stuffer in Green Bay. His future beyond 2014 going to depend on how he does this season. But for 1 year, I think they were planning on him being a major part of the rotation. Jarrell Worthy, he apparently has a lower back injury, said he had surgery in the offseason. He says he's hinting that he'll come back soon, said it could have been as early as today. It's not, or as early as yesterday, and it didn't end up being that way. Said he could come back next week. It's all depending on, you know, general manager Ted Thompson. Worthy better get his butt in camp because I think the Packers, I mean, even when Jarrell Worthy has been healthy and he's missed a lot of games due to a torn ACL, et cetera, and now the back, even when he's been healthy, he hasn't been effective. He's a pass rush specialist only. I don't think the Packers can trust him out there on rundowns, or I haven't seen that from him yet. But his pass rush hasn't been that great either. They just might have to part ways with him instead of hanging on with him. I mean, that being said, if this injury is so bad, I don't know. He could be a pup-less candidate, an injured reserve candidate. I don't really know. There's so much unknown from the medical standpoint that, you know, is gone unreported, and the Packers just giving the bare bones kind of essentials in terms of what's happened with his injury. I don't really know what's going on with Jarrell Worthy. As long as Jarrell Worthy and Latroy Guyon are out, the Packers are kind of been banking on Josh Boyd, the second-year player out of Mississippi State. I gave you my stream of consciousness from training camp Monday, and I thought Boyd was making the most of the situation. He's kind of been rotating in with the starters, but, Josh Boyd has been out there, and he's making the most of the situation, if nothing else. He's taking advantage of the opportunity with these guys being gone to get some major playing time, and he looks good. I'm not saying he's great, but, you know, he's going to be a part of this Packers defensive line this year, and a guy who's necessarily, I think he's more of a run stuffer than a pass rusher, but, you know, as long as these guys are injured, he's going to have to do both. He's going to have to be a base defensive end as well as a defensive tackle in the nickel and dime situations out of necessity, if nothing else. Hopefully he can start getting a pass rush, but looks good in the early going. I think he's a guy who took a step from year one to year two in the NFL. The Packers go out and grab Kyrie Thornton in the third round of the NFL draft. The word at the time when the draft took place is, wow, who's this guy? Or, you know, nobody expected Thornton to go as high as the third round. And all of a sudden the Packers take him and you're like, wow, does this guy show more promise than meets the eye? And you kind of watch his film at Southern Mississippi, and you're like, I can see what the Packers saw in him. He's a guy who, more than anything, hustles his ass off, you know, sideline to sideline, and really tried hard, especially for a team that's, you know, what Southern Mississippi won one game in the past two seasons. You could hardly blame them if, you know, the rest of the team gave up. But Thorne out there is still, you know, hustling his butt off, and he seems to have very heavy hands, uses them well, has some quick, not speed, but he has quickness. You know, there's some real potential there. I mean, he's only a rookie, and we have to, you know, I think have to limit our expectations on what he can provide year one. But, you know, obviously the Packers, I don't think, are going to cut him, if nothing else. He might, his playing time might come sparingly in 2014, but a guy they kind of expect to be a part of the rotation a little bit this year and more in the future. Beyond these guys, Packers brought in three undrafted rookies this year. Kind of the most notable of them is Mike Pennell, out of, I believe it's Colorado State Pueblo, transfer from Arizona State, huge nose tackle type of player. Pennell has a chance simply because he's the only other guy on the team other than BJ Raji that weighs over 315 pounds. Pennell is one of these guys who's a 330 plus pound nose tackle. And boy, if anything would happen to BJ Raji, Pennell might, I mean, just, you know, knock on wood here, BJ Raji suffers a season-ending injury, Pennell might find himself with a job simply because he's one of the few massive bodies the Packers have on their defensive line. So there's you know, there's hope there from that standpoint, in that he's just a massive guy. Can he use his girth and his strength to hold the point of attack at the nose tackle position? I'm excited to see him in training camp. I'm excited to see him in the preseason. I saw him at training camp. Didn't get to see him play a whole lot, but of course, you know, looked imposing, has a massive body. Let's hope it translates to the games. Carlos Gray is an interesting one. He's not quite as big. He's about 313 pounds. I think he's listed on the roster. He's not small by any means. But interesting from the standpoint that he was an underclassman entry to the NFL draft out of North Carolina State. And nobody really thought anything of, I mean, he had an okay season at NC State last year. There were so many junior entries that came out. But, I mean, he was among, you know, the least heralded of all the junior entries. There's potential there simply from the fact that, you know, he had an okay season and he's young. You think there's room for growth there. But I think, you know, everybody expected Carlos Gray just to, you know, return for his next season at NC State and hopefully improve his draft stock. It didn't happen. The only thing I can say about him is there's room for improvement there, and hopefully it'll come. The good news is he's young, and the Packers could have his services for a really young time, or a really long time, because he is so young. Maybe he's a practice squad candidate. It would be tough to see him make the roster this year. Same with Luther Robinson, came out of Miami. Now he's a senior, or was a senior coming out of college, not quite as young. But if the Packers like what they see, probably a practice squad candidate, not a 53-man roster candidate. And that's basically your run through almost every player on the Packers defensive line and what they've got this year. It can be a very good group if they all live up to potential, like we said, with especially Raji and Dayton Jones living up to potential. Daniels, I think you're going to get the most out of him regardless. But it's an interesting group and one that could be very good for the Packers this year. We'll see what they have in store. You know, their plans with Dom Capers, how they're going to be utilized. It's hard to say exactly, but I'm interested to see how it all plays out, as I always say. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. I do want to end here this episode with our call to action, something unique. Folks, if you just notice, I think yesterday for the first time at Cheesehead TV, we just added banners on both our homepage and then any of the landing pages. If you read an article, click a link or anything like that, to something called the Buffalo Fan Alliance. A Buffalo Bills fan group reached out to us and asked if we would add this, and we really do support what they do. But Buffalo Bills fans are worried that, you know, of course the team is there's, you know, rumors about them being sold to a new owner, but the owner is going to leave. You know, there's been rumors about Bon Jovi moving the team to Toronto. And of course, I mean, there's, you know, continuous rumors about the NFL wanting a team in London or Los Angeles or whatever. And, you know, Buffalo Bills fans are worried that they don't want to lose their team. And they have such a great history there, maybe not quite as illustrious as the Green Bay Packers, as we like to think. But I do like the team in a northern climate there in western New York. It's nice to see another, you know, a frozen tundra type of environment that can be a very cold and hostile place to play. The Bills have supported that team for decades. And I do think it would be a disappointment should they ever lose that team. You can, and I can sympathize. The Packers were in a very similar spot. Had the referendum to renovate Lambeau Field back in 2000 not gone through, you sit there and you wonder. What could have happened? What may have happened? Had the Packers not approved that referendum, we might not be talking about a team in Wisconsin anymore. There was a point where the future of the Packers franchise was in doubt. It is, you know, since they've renovated it, it's amazing the stability that is now there, as we just learned last week at the Packers shareholders meeting, and the money they have in reserves to keep the team in Green Bay. It is absolutely amazing and astounding the stability the Packers have. Anyway, we support what the fans in Buffalo are doing. Go just at the Cheesehead TV homepage. I realize if you're watching the show live that, you know, that it's taken over right now by our live stream landing page. And you're watching the broadcast and all that. But you'll notice normally there's going to be a banner ad or a spot ad for the Buffalo Fan Alliance. They're looking for people to sign an open letter, just providing your email or whatever. And they have a plan to do some sort of similar, fan-funded way to keep the team in Buffalo. It's not like the Packers, the fans own the team, but it's something similar to that. They want to raise money for basically giving a new owner a loan, but under the condition that the team stays in Buffalo. It's very unique and it's very professionally done, is what I'm saying. Go click it. Go sign up. Show that you support the Buffalo Bills Fan Alliance. We do here at Cheesehead TV, and we support what they're doing, so go check that out. But, folks, that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. I'm Brian Kirivu, along with Jamie Snowden. Thank you so much to Scott McKenna, who is our guest today. Next Monday, we have joining us on the show Jake Kokorowski of the Kielbasa Kings podcast over at Bucky's Fifth Quarter. I've joined them several times over the course of the last year or two on their show. I want to repay the favor and have Jake on our show Monday morning. We'll recap family night. We have shows here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. And of course, podcasted later in the day. So however you watch our show, we're glad to have you. But we'll see you on Monday. On behalf of Jamie Snow and I'm Brian Kirivu, we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Made to Measure by Humphreys McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.